Author Mitch Albom is best known for his best-selling work, Tuesdays with Morrie and The Five People You Meet in Heaven, books that explore what it means to be human. He's also one of the reasons I'm a journalist, but we'll get to that later. Now, in the midst of COVID-19, Albom is releasing a new book, chapter by chapter, that he's writing in real time called Human Touch. It's free to read, and at the end, Albom encourages people to donate to his charity, Say Detroit, which will help in the city's fight against COVID-19. For more on his project, award-winning author and philanthropist Mitch Albom joins me now via Skype. Welcome to Here and Now.
Hi, Tanya. Nice to talk to you.
Yes, so this new novel, Human Touch, tells the story of four Michigan families that live on the same street as the country experiences coronavirus. What inspired you to write this novel in real time?
Well, I knew early on, because of the charities I operate here in Detroit, that we were going to get hit pretty hard by COVID-19. That we're set up in the worst case scenarios, a lot of intergenerational housing, a lot of people close together. A lot of people with hypertension and diabetes and pre-existing conditions. So I said, well, what can I do to help my city and raise some money? And the thought that came to me was, well, what I do is write books. I mean, that's probably, you know, people know me best for. Maybe there was a way to write one and just take the money and give it to the city. And the fastest way to do that is doing something online. So from the time I thought of the idea to the time I had committed to the idea to the time I was writing the first chapter was a week. And I had to come up with a story that could be flexible enough that I could keep creating it every week. And then just encourage people. I didn't want to charge for it because I just thought even if you charge $2, there might be people who didn't have that at this time. So I just wanted to give encouragement to people to make donations to help us fight COVID-19. And took a chance on it. And it seems to be working okay.
Let's talk a little bit about the storyline. So it includes the rise of a militia targeting Chinese Americans, and specifically the character Sam Lee. Tell us how you came to this idea of telling the story through four very different families.
Well, when you're going to create a story in real time and you're only going to stay a week ahead of publication, you need flexibility. And so I knew if I'd created a neighborhood and one street corner, because I thought that was sort of symbolic of how we were all kind of living apart yet living together. And there were four houses on this street corner and four families in the houses. So I created a doctor because I thought, well, that's going to be important. And the doctor's family. I had a pastor because I thought, well, faith and gathering for faith is going to be an interesting issue. Chinese American couple, as you point out, because especially at the time when I started, there was a lot of finger pointing, blaming and scapegoating of Chinese Americans. And a business owner and an older guy who owns a cider mill. And then I introduced an 8-year-old Haitian boy, which I'm happy
Moses.
To tell you. Little Moses, who has become the star of the book. And there's quite an interesting backstory on him. But together they were all living on this corner. And then I could just watch as coronavirus started to affect relationships, how these people who always had these tradition of Saturday get-togethers at each other's houses, it was just something they always did. They all ate the same food and they hugged and they played. Now all of a sudden they slowly had to separate and people became distrustful of one another and somebody got the disease in one family and they were concerned about getting it elsewhere. And this was really what was playing out in the streets around me.
You mentioned Moses, this young Haitian boy that readers will discover is perhaps the miracle that many feel is needed right now. Without giving away spoilers for this, for those who haven't read it yet, what's the role of the miracle in this book? Is it Moses or is it the human touch?
Well, it's a little bit of both. The backstory I mentioned is I operate an orphanage in Haiti. And we have 52 children that we raise. We don't adopt any kids out. We raise them. And one of them, an 8-year-old boy named Knox, I happened to bring up here for a therapy session on his leg. And he came up on March 1st. And as you can imagine, there wasn't any going back. And so he has lived with us ever since. And he has been the absolute joy of our existence. He's always upbeat and funny and curious. And he's just having the time life here. And my wife and I realized it's his being able to hold him and hug him and play with him has made this tolerable for us. And what's otherwise, we're locked inside. Children really can be a way out of this. And so I created a character, 8-year-old Haitian boy who's got circumstances that brought him up here, who is immune to all of the disease. You know, I won't give away how, but he just can't catch anything. And so eventually, as people start sequestering and secluding in their homes, he goes from house to house, kind of sneaks around, opens back doors, sneaks through windows, and goes to the people who are sick and lets them hold him, you know, hug him or play with him or hold his hand.
Yeah.
And he provides that human contact that we so long for, just as Knox has provided it.
What a connection, and connecting it to your personal life and really what that, what healing looks like and having young people around, and then perhaps this idea of touch within this novel. Can you tell us more about where the funds are going and how much you all have raised so far?
We created a subset of our charities, operate a charity called Say Detroit, and we created a subset called Detroit Beats COVID-19 and dedicated all the funds from Human Touch to go to that. And we laid out 6 key areas that we were going to help in, from senior citizens, or 2,000 senior citizens who we didn't want going out and having to go shopping. So we've been feeding them three meals a day ever since we started the project. PPEs for first responders and masks, things like that, food products, a homeless center with the Detroit Rescue Mission for homeless people who have gotten COVID-19, and they obviously still need a place to go. And so it's a quarantine center that we've helped operate, several other operations. And then the big one was testing centers, because here in Detroit, we only had one really big testing center, and you had to drive to it, and it was in the northern part of the city. So mm-hmm. we realized from working in the city, a lot of people that don't have cars, and a lot of people can't get up there. So we opened the first walk-up test site for COVID-19 testing, and we've been operating these test sites ever since. And that's been our biggest focus. And honestly, Tanya, it's, you know, people are always looking for good news. I put this story up week at a time with no requirement to make any donation whatsoever. And through that, we've already raised well over $600,000. And it's just so interesting that you do something for free from your basement, essentially, and you can help affect the world in a weird way. And it's a message I always try to get through in my books.
You know, I want to tell you something, Mitch. I started reading your Sunday sports columns in the Detroit Free Press when I was 11. My grandfather brought me a Brother word processor, and I'd take your Sunday column and then rewrite them on that processor. And I'd also write you, and you actually would write me back on that beautiful Free Press letterhead typed out. You know, those were the times we were in. It goes to show it's really the small things. It really speaks to how these small moments really make up our humanity and really have big impacts. I mean, I'm a journalist now, and that's in big part to you.
Well, there's part of me that's tempted to say, don't blame me. But the other part is very, very flattered and honored. And I always try to answer people who have written me, especially younger people over the years, because I, too, was influenced by someone when I was younger. Thank you for saying that. And I'm glad. It just shows that whole, you know, connectivity, which is something I've been writing about since The Five People You Meet in Heaven. I mean, or even Tuesdays with Maury. One person, touches another and another and another. And we have no way of ever knowing the ripples in the pond that we create by the pebbles mm-hmm. that we throw. But we're doing it now. And Knox is doing it here. You know, a little girl named Chica, who we adopted from our orphanage, became the subject of my most recent book that wasn't online, Finding Chica, the story of this little orphan girl who was born 3 days before the earthquake. And I had no idea how a child who was born in another country and other different circumstances could affect my life so profoundly. And yet she made my wife and me and her a family. And so it doesn't stop this whole human touch connection thing. And I'm glad you just evidenced it with your story.
Thank you so much, Mitch, and thank you so much for sharing your work with us.
COVID-19 isn't gone. The sun's out, but it's not gone, and we're still fighting it here, so I hope we can continue, and I thank you for giving me a few moments to talk about it.
That's Mitch Albom, award-winning writer, philanthropist, and author of the free online book, Human Touch.